Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room and also in the room later on the recording, and all of the dear brethren that will be listening to the recording on a later date. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this blessed Sabbath, January 28, 2017. This is lesson 215, chapter 46, He Was Transfigured, part 2. Our opening scripture song is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, merciful and gracious, abundant in goodness, abundant in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, iniquity, transgressions and sin. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, merciful and gracious, abundant in goodness, abundant in goodness and truth. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Welcome to the family that are joining us. If anyone of the little ones, mommies and daddies, would like to have opening prayer.
If we go kneel and bow our heads and our hearts, our Father, we thank you for the spirit to have this blessed day. We thank you for the spirit to wake us up this morning. We thank you for the spirit to have another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins, our never use now, Christ our spirit. And I also pray that you may be able to give us strength, wisdom, and understanding, and be with us as we have yet another blessed study. And let us be able to keep on continuing and doing the work that we need us to do. Let us keep on spreading the gospel. Well, let us be able to keep on spreading to any suburban areas, so at least any city or any nation. Let us be able to never forget that you are still with us, strengthen us, and also let us be able to always be grateful for whatever you've given us. Let us be able to be obedient and trustworthy. Let's be able to keep on going on the right path and find the good fight. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name, amen. Dear ones, the opening scripture to our study today is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse 25 on the King James Version, and it reads, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. This Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, we will continue with part 2 of our lesson entitled, He Was Transfigured, in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the following verses, blah, blah, blah.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. Amen.
Corinthians chapter 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. Corinthians chapter 15:52. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15:53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put immortal Amen.
Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angel. Exodus chapter 30, verse 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So today, dear ones, we will be covering pages 421 through 422. I apologize. If any one of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, Babula.
The Desire of Ages, page 421. Upon Mount Pisgah, 15 centuries before, Moses had stood gazing upon the Lord, the land of promise. But because of his sin at Meribah, it was not for him to enter there. Not for him was the joy of leading the hosts of Israel into the inheritance of their father. His agonized entreaty, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain, and Lebanon, Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 25, was refused. The hope that for 40 years had lighted up the darkness of the desert wanderings must be denied. And continuing on the next slide. A wilderness grave was the goal of those years of toil and heart burden and care. But he who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, had in his measure answered his servant's prayer. Moses passed under the dominion of death, but he was not to remain in the tomb. Christ himself called him forth to life. Satan the tempter had claimed the body of Moses because of his sin, but Christ the Savior brought him forth from the grave. Jude chapter 9, and that was Desire of Ages, page 421, paragraph 3. Amen.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. Where did Moses stand gazing upon the land of promise? And why was he not able to enter therein? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
Upon Mount Pisgah, but because of his sins at Meribah, it was not for him to enter there. His agonized entreaty, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon.
Desire of Ages, pages 421. Moses upon the Mount of Transfiguration was a witness to Christ's victory over sin and death. He represented those who shall come forth from the grave at the resurrection of the just. Elijah, who had been translated to heaven without seeing death, represented those who will be living upon the earth at Christ's second coming and who will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at last triumph. When this mortal must put on immortality, and this incorruptible must put on incorruptible. This corruptible must put it on incorruptible. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
for this corruptor must put on the for this corruptor must put on the incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. This is Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:51-53.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother Joel. Yeah, question, boys and girls. What was Moses upon the Mount of Transfiguration a witness of, as well as who did he represent? And what was Elijah, who had been translated to heaven without seeing death, a representation of? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
He was a witness to Christ's victory over sin and death. He represented those who shall come forth from the grave at the resurrection of the just. And Elijah represented those who will be living upon the earth as at Christ's second coming, and who will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump.
Amen. Good job. Welcome, dear Sister Francine. Let's learn our first beautiful song together, dear ones. And this song is entitled, Lest Ye Sorrow. It is a promise that the Lord had given us that whenever we do lose any loved one, we have to always remember the promise that is given us.
And the dead in Christ.
Isaiah 4:21, Jesus was clothed with the light of heaven, as he will appear when he shall come the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. For he will come in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. Hebrews 9:28, Mark 8:38. The Savior promised to the disciple was now fulfilled. Upon the mount, the future kingdom of the glory was presenting in a miniature Christ the King, mostly representative of the rising saint, and Elijah of the translated one. Wow, what a beautiful sight. Isaiah 4:21 paragraph.
Amen. What a sight indeed, dear sister. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. How was Jesus clothed when he was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah? And how was the future kingdom of glory represented in miniature upon the mount? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, bubble up.
He was clothed with the light of heaven, as he will appear when he shall come the second time without sin unto salvation. He will come in the glory of his Father with the holy angels, and Christ the King, Moses, a representative of the risen saint, and Elijah of the translated.
Desire of Ages, page 422. The disciples do not yet comprehend the scene, but they rejoice that the patient teacher, the meek and lowly one, who has wandered to and fro, a helpless stranger, is honored by the favored ones of heaven. They believe that Elijah has come to announce the Messiah's reign, and that the kingdom of Christ is about to be set upon the earth. The memory of their fear and disappointment they would banish forever. Continue next slide, please. Here, where the glory of God is revealed, they long to tarry. Peter exclaims, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. The disciples are confident that Moses and Elijah have been sent to protect their master and to establish his authority as his king. Desire of Ages 422, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And today there are many people that still believe in this same information that the disciples having a hard time to understand. But we have to take our time and pray and ask the Lord to bring them to a thus said the Lord, that they themselves may not miss their salvation. Question, boys and girls, how did the disciples feel with the scene they experienced, and what did they yet not comprehend the true meaning of what they saw? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones.
They rejoice that the patient teacher, the meek and lowly one who has wandered to and fro, a helpless stranger, is honored by the favored ones of heaven. They believe that Elijah has come to announce the Messiah's reign, and that the kingdom of Christ is about to be set up on earth. Desire of Ages, page 422. But before the crown must come to the cross, not the inauguration of Christ as king, but the decease to be accomplished at Jerusalem, is the subject of their... I'm sorry. I'm reading from my phone, so I'm having a hard time scrolling. But the accomplished at Jerusalem is the subject of their conference with Jesus, bearing the weakness of humanity and burdened with his sorrow and sin. Jesus walked alone in the midst of men. As the darkness of the coming trial pressed upon him, he was in lowliness of spirit in the world that knew him not. Next slide, please.
Amen. Dear Borough Wellington, if you cannot see the page, you can go back out and come back in or refresh it, okay? I'll be praying there that you may be able to come back in. Question, boys and girls, what does the paragraph mean when it states, But before the crown must come the cross. If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, blah, blah, blah.
Christ must first bear the weakness of humanity and burdened with its sorrows and sin by dying on the cross. As the darkness of the coming trial pressed upon him, he was in loneliness of spirit in a world that knew him not.
The Desire of Ages, page 422. Even his loved disciples, absorbed in their own doubt and sorrow and ambitious hopes, had not comprehended the mystery of his mission. He had dwelt amid the love and fellowship of heaven, but in the world that he had created, he was in solitude. Now heaven had sent its messengers to Jesus, not angels, but men who had endured suffering and sorrow. Next slide, please.
Amen. Praise the Lord and welcome to all the brethren that are just joining us. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. What occupied the mind of Christ's loved disciple that they had not comprehended the mystery of his mission? And why did the heaven have to send his messengers as men to Jesus and not angels? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones. Blah, blah, blah.
The observance of their own doubts and sorrow and ambitious hope. In the world that he had created, he was in solitude, and heaven had sent its messenger, not angels, but men who had endured suffering and sorrow, could sympathize with the Savior in the trial of his earthly life.
Continuing on to our pages, page 422. And who could sympathize with the Savior in the trial of his earthly life? Moses and Elijah had been co-laborers with Christ. They had shared his longing for the salvation of men. Moses had pleaded for Israel, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written." Exodus chapter 32, verse 32.
Amen. Well done, everyone. Question, boys and girls. Had Moses and Elijah been collaborators with Christ? And how did Moses show his share in Jesus' longing for the salvation of men? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones.
Okay. Yes, they had shared his longing for the salvation of men. And Moses had pleaded for Israel. Yet, now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written.
Amen. So let us learn our last beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Job, chapter 23, verse 10.
When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We have come to the ending of the first section of our children's Sabbath school lesson. And this is the section that we ask all the little ones to come close because it's story time. And our dear brother Gray will be the one to narrate it.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's story time for January 28, 2017. The first month is almost over. And the story today is called, He Was Industrious. Now, we'll find out what that big word means a little bit later. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. John 9:4. When God sent Jesus to the earth, he gave him a special work to do, and he did it. The life of Christ demonstrates or shows to all youth and children that the life, a life of industry and obedience is favorable or good to the formation of good moral or pure characters, firm principles. In other words, he was not wishy-washy. Strength of purpose, he made up his mind to do something and he did it. Sound knowledge, he read his Bible carefully. And spiritual attainment, Jesus obeyed God's law. Most of the children and youth of the present day cherish a love of exciting amusements. Do you know what exciting means? Well, sports are exciting. There's a lot of action and noise, but nothing is really accomplished, which is unfavorable or not good for high attainments in mental culture. Your mind doesn't grow watching football games. It grows when you read the Bible. And physical strength. Jesus never played sports when he was on earth. The mind is not kept in a calm, healthful state of thought. In other words, you can't think calmly when exciting things are going on. But is much of the time under the excitement of, in short, or it means, is intoxicated or drunk with the amusements or foolishness it craves. Our desires is what we, our cravings are our desires, which render it incapable of close application, reflection, and study. This means when you are all excited about sports or some other foolishness, you can't be interested in getting ready for heaven, and that's our first job on this earth. The youth who do not cherish or show a respect for their parents and a love to make themselves useful by offering to help do something for them cannot enjoy real pleasure. The love of vain amusements relaxes the tone of mind and weakens the morals so that many youth and children have but little self-control and firm principle. That means they don't know how to behave themselves correctly. In his industrious life, Jesus kept busy. There were no idle moments. That is when you have nothing to do to invite temptation. Did you know that it is when you are idle that the devil tempts you to do bad things? No aimless hours or wasted time open the way for corrupting associations. That's when the kids down the street share bad habits with you or bad language. So far as possible, he, Jesus, closed the door to the tempter. He stayed busy doing something useful. If he wasn't working with Joseph in the carpenter shop, he was reading his Bible. Neither gain nor pleasure, applause or censure, could induce him to consent to a wrong act. You couldn't pay Jesus to do wrong, and even if you laughed at him, he wouldn't do wrong. He was not willing to be defective even in the handling of tools. Jesus was careful with his tools, kept them clean, and put them away when he was finished with them. He was perfect as a workman, as he was perfect in character. By his own example, he taught that it is our duty to be industrious. He stayed busy doing useful things for others. That our work should be performed with exactness and thoroughness. He did his work nicely and completely. And that such labor is honorable. The exercise that teaches the hand to be useful and trains the young to bear their share of life's burdens gives physical strength and develops every faculty or ability. God appointed work as a blessing. Did you ever think work was a blessing? God said it was. And only the diligent or hard worker finds the true glory and joy of life. Sons and Daughters of God, page
131. Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much, Brother Deck. Dear ones, we would like to ask any one of the little ones, mommies and daddy, that would like to close with prayer. Bubula. If we can all bow our heads and our knee, if possible, as we go boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and Heavenly Father, as we come before Thee, Lord, to give You thanks and praises, thank You, dear Lord, for allowing us to see Your example of how You bear the cross that You have came here to show us how to bear our own, and also giving us an example of how You spent lonely times in solitude while being afflicted by the mission that has to be done. Help us, dear Lord, that we may do the same. If we look towards Your example, then we will realize that we are sharers. But if we look towards our doubts and fears, and even the very cross that had been placed upon us, for our own salvation, a building of character, for us to be able to be prepared for whatever mission that You want us to do in our lives, for our family, our friends, our neighborhood, in whatever call that You have given us. Help us to look a little higher and realize that the Lord has not given us anything that He has not done. He had carried the heaviest burden, and now He's asking us to be able to be co-laborers and share, that we may appreciate truly the price that He has paid. Something that He did not by no means had any guilt, but show us an example by bearing all the guilt of this world. We can also take our guilt and take it to Him by asking forgiveness and strength to overcome and become sharers and to represent us in a world that is Christ-like in nature. Father, we need Your help. We need Your strength and Your wisdom. We also need the time to meditate upon all these things. For it is great to hear and rejoice in our hearts, but we need the power from divine to be able to accomplish this. And we ask, dear Lord, help us to bear our crosses. Help us to look forward for the crown, always looking towards what we must do. For the love that You have given us, we are always going to become short. Father, for the love that You have given us is a selfless love. Help us to be able to be selfless as well. Keep us in this narrow path. Prepare us for what is ahead. Father Jesus, remember all of those afflicted, those that are sick at this very moment. May You lift them up. Give them a ray, especially on this blessed day. This is the day that we can bring all our troubles to You, and You are so ready to hear us. Forgive us, Father, for not being diligent and faithful as You have showed us. We thank You and we love You. Be with us during this whole Sabbath day. Be with all the speakers and the hearts of the people among us. We thank You and we love You. We plead the blood of Christ upon us all to cleanse us from all unrighteousness is my prayer. Bless the little ones and the mommies and the daddies. Help them that they may be able to continue taking their cross daily in their home to help bear the weight as a family. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Next week, we will end with part 3 of our lesson entitled, He Was Transfigured, in our study book, The Sign of Ages. And that will be held, dear ones, next Sabbath by God's grace, February 4, 2017. We will continue with part 3. We have also prepared activity for the whole family to enjoy and continue this beautiful dialogue, for what is ahead is truly a trying time. But if we look towards Christ Jesus, the burden will not be so heavy, for He had left us our lot that we may continue until the day the eastern sky will be open and He will come with us. Let's be faithful, dear ones. God bless each and everyone. May you have a blessed rest of the Sabbath.